You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It's my favorite week of the year, and do you know why that is, Tim and Tyler? Do you have any clue?
Because it's March?
No, it's tight end week on the Happy Hour. My position, the tight end whisperer, is here to tell you all the good things about the 2021 tight end class. I'm super pumped to go over it. We've got a handful of good prospects here. And from the top to the bottom, a solid class. But we're here to talk about that. But before we do, just wanted to let you know that we are brought to you by Trophy Smack this week. If you're looking for that fantasy trophy, belt, gangster grill, they have it all. Recently featured on Shark Tank and now being supported and partnered with Mark Cuban, bringing it to the next level. Now, when you go on Trophy Smack and buy any of their products or a trophy, a grill, a belt, use code DHHRING. You're going to get a free championship ring, $60 value. We'd be sent with your shipment. And you can keep it for yourself, give it to a friend. Maybe give it to your girlfriend and propose marriage. This is your engagement ring, babe. Here you go.
That'd
bam,
awesome.
Trophy Smack. I would love to see that. If you do that, please post it on Twitter. I would love that. So make sure to check out Trophy Smack today, code DHHRING. I'm here with Tyler and Tim. Tyler, what is going on with you? You're in a beautiful Viking shirt this evening. Are you feeling purple?
No, it's pretty much the only type of clothing I have is sports related. It's pretty much just either Falcons, Vikings, Minnesota Twins, Minnesota Gophers, Notre Dame, and
Florida State.
I have a couple of those, and then podcast shirts. And that's about my wardrobe. Maybe like
SFB.
Three.
You got an SFB shirt in there?
Of course. I've got like 10 of those. But then
SFB shirts.
You got like the classic one or two button-ups you have in the closet that are just like, oh, it's Thanksgiving. Got to choose between the two.
Oh, it's date night with the wife.
Yeah. Well, we're saying it's that anyways. We're the nice sweatpants.
Yeah. The ones without the mustard stains.
Oh man, Tim, what's new with you? I know you've been you've had a busy weekend here doing all sorts of home improvement.
I've
running
been,
around like a crazy man working
yeah,
those
been
calves
crazy,
out
been crazy busy. The wife wanted to do some home improvements with some of the tax return money, so we went out, bought two toilets to replace, you know, perfectly working toilets in the house.
What happened? Well, I was gonna say, what happened to the other ones?
Bidet
Tim?
Built in?
No bidets, just one in new toilets. So I was replacing two toilets, put in a new vanity with a sink.
Are you just gonna get one bidet one tomorrow?
I just take the garden hose and go out back and spray my ass out. That's how I do it. Did some electrical work around the house. I'm sitting in a nice new office chair. I feel all, you know, fancy. But put that together this week. It's just been a very, very long weekend of tasks. So
you look a lot more comfortable. I will say that. I mean, you look relaxed.
Well, it's because I'm tired. I've been working.
He looks exhausted, Tyler.
Jeez.
I have a nice large cup of coffee. We're going to talk some tight ends, and I'm going to go to bed later.
There you go. My weekend's been pretty good. My father-in-law from New Hampshire is visiting, so we've been hanging out with him. Bought bunk beds for my oldest son this week, so we got those delivered. So that's been kind of the story of the week.
So much more room for activities.
That's true.
That's right. Oh, so much blood. I was just watching that last night, actually. So good.
It's a funny-ass movie.
It's an amazing movie. So we've got a little bit of NFL news. It's nothing crazy. It's mostly rumors. I mean, we've got Russell Wilson supposedly maybe on the block. He's got a few teams that he would be traded to, including the Bears. And the Raiders? Okay.
Somebody needs to talk to his PR guy. I mean, somebody's really got to talk to his agent. Like, did you say the Bears? Are you sure about this?
Or was it not the
bear? Were you just naming some of your favorite animals?
Seahawks, yeah. Bears.
The Texans.
I can't see Russ in Vegas. He just doesn't seem like a Raiders quarterback to me.
No.
I mean, it works for his family. Sierra could really pull some gigs in Vegas.
Yeah, she, maybe get a residency at a hotel.
Yeah.
Harrah's presents Sierra.
1-2 stepping it on the Vegas Strip. Yeah. Good times.
Hey, Russell, we saw you on the slots the other night. What do you say? I just am so proud to be here in Vegas, and the community is so great. And just beep, boop, boop.
He's just inspecting all the levers and all the slot machines. What a guy.
He's talking to the machines themselves.
And we've had more Deshaun Watson news. He met with the new head coach, David Culley, and said, you know what, bro? Cool, you're the new head coach, but I'm not going to play here. Yeah. So he's really dug in on not playing ever again for the Houston Texans. They say they're not going to trade him. Will he sit out the season? That'll suck for my fantasy teams that I have him on. That's for sure. I think he probably ends up getting traded. I think that just makes too much sense. We've seen the price for quarterbacks now. They should be able to get some sort of multiple first and make up for some of the bad decisions they've had here in the last couple of years by trading away all their draft picks for David Johnson and Laremy Tunsil and all those good things.
And David Putney.
And they even threw in David Bleepin' Putney. It is true. We need someone on special teams.
I do want to say the news is very weak this time. Because there's no combine. This, fellas, would have been combine week. Combine we'd be week. Talking about the combine and how fast people ran and how good they looked. Oh, man. That was probably the most depressing.
Yeah, Pat Freiermuth would have been running like a 4.3 because that strength coach at Penn State just has all these guys just juiced up before they get there.
The Troy Apke effect. Yeah. Oh, my God, this guy can blaze.
Yeah. He can jump out of the building, he can lift a car, and he can run faster than anybody we've ever seen.
That's pretty much what the combine's going to look like this year in pro days. Like, they're going to have a car sitting there on the field.
It's going to be stupid.
Yeah.
I miss it dearly. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year, and to not have it is like, ugh. So, but it is what it is. Next year, we should be good to go. That's
free agency's coming up 2 weeks. We're going to have some form of disappointment until the following week after it starts because nothing ever happens right away. Mm-hmm. So. Yep. Yeah,
we got franchise tags coming up on March 9th.
Yeah.
So, Notorious B.I.G.'s birthday.
There might be some early moves.
And also, it's my son's birthday on Wednesday, so happy birthday. He's going to be 4. That's another good thing.
I did see a chart with all the teams' current cap space. There are a lot of teams that are in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
So, I think we're going to see an influx of veterans, pricey veterans, get cut. We've already seen it with, like, the Jarrell Caseys, the A.J. Bouye. Type of players that are J.J. Watt, not that they cut him because of money. They should have traded him and been like, sorry, buddy, whatever.
Everybody's like, they should have traded him. Has anybody seen how they run a team? They're not good at it. So
wait a minute. We can get like a third round pick for J.J. Watt? No,
Why are we shocked about this? Why are we shocked that they did not trade him?
They did him the favor because of what he's done for that franchise and allowing him to pick.
I get it. you're running a business in essence. So like, I don't know.
We're going to let you leave this miserable place. Like that's what we'll give you.
Yeah. And like charcuterie board on the way out.
Do you think when Duke Johnson got cut, David Johnson was like kind of excited? Like, hey, D Johnson, you're cut. David Johnson's like, oh, you're saying I could go anywhere? Oh, no. Duke.
Wrong D Johnson.
Duke is cut.
He's probably like, God dang it.
And Duke's probably just like, yes.
Yes, get me out of here. Maybe I can actually be something somewhere. Probably not at this point, but whatevs. He'll always have the leading, the University of Miami's all-time leading rusher to hang his hat on.
Which is insane.
It is, considering all the talent that's come out of there over the years. Absolutely insane. So, are you boys ready to get into some tight end talk? I know Tyler loves to talk about a good tight end. It's true.
Yeah, this actually ruined my Google search history. So, I gotta call Google tomorrow, figure that out.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
So let's start with everybody's favorite tight end in this class. He's your wide receiver 2. He's your tight end 1. He is from the University of Florida. I would have loved to seen Kyle Pitts at the combine just absolutely destroy the combine. Mm-hmm. I assume his pro day is going to be pretty electric. You guys have watched tape on Kyle Pitts. He's phenomenal. It's going to be really interesting, A, where he lands, and B, with what offensive coordinator, because we could see if he lands in the wrong spot, it could be really bad for him. Mm-hmm. But if he lands in a good spot with someone that is actually going to use him to his strengths, it could be phenomenal for him. So hopefully this is a team that takes him where they're like, you know what? We can build our offense around this kid and really maximize his talent. That would be what you'd want to do. So that's what we're hoping. But let's talk Kyle Pitts. So, Tim, I'm going to give you the floor first. Give me your Kyle Pitts film review.
Kyle Pitts is my highest graded tight end in the class, and it's a very good class. It is a very strong and deep class, but Kyle Pitts is the top dog, and it's not very close, as a matter of fact. My notes start off with, Kyle Pitts is not a good blocker, and that's completely fine, because if a team uses him properly, they won't be asking him to block very much at all. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that can play on the end of the line, run routes, own the seams. He can put him in the slot. You can put him outside. He is a receiving weapon. He is a transcendent tight end. This guy can make plays in the air, body adjustments, strong hands, win at the high point of the ball, can win in traffic. The guy runs fantastic routes. He's got athleticism for days and days and days. If he can't outrun you, he's going to use his size and his leverage to beat you, looking at you cornerbacks, and then now to look at the linebackers. You might have the size on him. You're not going to keep up with this guy, or he's going to make you look silly in the route tree, and he's just going to come open. Kyle Pitts is an absolute weapon in the class. I look forward to hopefully seeing him land with one of these, you know, offensive-minded individuals that Doug kind of mentioned there, because if he does, Kyle Pitts is wheels up. He is going to be a rocket ship for fantasy teams.
Tyler, where would you like to see Pitts' ideal landing spot be? It's probably going to be not somewhere Atlanta. In the top 12 picks, I would imagine. Top 10, I mean, most likely.
I mean, if he lands with Atlanta, that would be shocking to me. I would love it, but that would be very shocking. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati, but then again, if he lands with them, are they going to ask him to block more, which we don't want that? Mm-hmm. And if they need a tight end on the field to block, it's going to be Drew Sample. So how are they going to use him on the field? Dallas would be another option. That's I think number 9. If they pass up on a corner, which is their most likely draft position, mm-hmm. Pitts could be the tight end. I know everybody likes Dalton Schultz
and Blake Jarwin too.
And Blake Jarwin, back. But man, Pitts in that offense with Dak, ooh, that would be
if Dak's back.
I mean, imagine Dak, CeeDee Lamb, Gallup, Amari Cooper, Zeke. And Kyle Pitts, like, yikes.
It'd be fun. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yikes.
I saw maybe it was Bucky Brooks from the NFL, NFL.com, had the Eagles taking him. And fun. Awesome. I don't see that even kind of happening. And I think the lowest I've seen him is 15 to the Patriots.
I would love
he's going to live somewhere Chargers. In that, like, 8 to 12 range, in my opinion.
My favorite spot would be the Chargers.
Yep.
That would be easily locked in my favorite spot. It boosts Herbert's value a ton. And Pitts in the middle of the field for Herbert, like, good night. That's awesome.
I've seen a lot of the Chargers taking either a receiver or tight end. You know, while you have Herbert on that rookie contract, just put a ton of weapons around him, see what the ceiling is, see how far you can take it.
Don't destroy my Donald Parham, you bastards.
No, I mean, with Pitts, he's 6'6". 260 pounds. He moves like he's 6'3", 220. And it's not fair. And you can put him anywhere on the field, and he's going to succeed. He's one of the youngest players in this draft class. He's going to be 20. He is the best pass catcher in this draft class. I have watched the top receivers, and I have watched Kyle Pitts. And Kyle Pitts, to me, is the most electric player at his position over everybody. That's running back, wide receiver, tight end. The only issue is it's a onesie position. You're not going to take him 101, and you're not going to sit there and be like, oh, who am I going to take, a running back, a wide receiver? You need to start more of them than you do a tight end, and that's the issue with Pitts. If you are in like the 106 to 108 and you are needy for a tight end, I'm all for it. You could take him as high as 105. I don't care because this guy is amazing. Now, Tim,
that's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask, how high do you expect him to go in rookie drafts? In a non-superflex league, I think he could be a top five pick.
Yeah, I think.
A 4-5. In a superflex league, you're probably looking at that 7 to 8 range, maybe even 9.
Yeah, and honestly, in a super flex startup I did this year. Mm-hmm. It's with some analysts. I didn't really need quarterback. My receivers were solid. My running backs were very good. And I had Adam Troutman and Jared Cook as my starting tight ends. I took him at 103. Mm-hmm. I had 102. I traded back to 103, and I got 112 with that deal. And I took Pitts, and it was an easy choice for me. And Bob Gilchrist, who is a very smart man himself, said he was very upset I took him at 103, because he said at 104, he was all mine. He was locked in. So there's a lot of people that honestly would probably reach for him, because it's also tight end premium. I will explain that. So that extra boost in the tight end spot will actually help him. I mean, his yards per reception, 17.9 this year.
That's insane. Out of a tight end, that's crazy.
Yeah, and 27% of his catches went for touchdowns. Yeah. That's an insane percentage. He is a monster. He's a big play waiting to happen. He went 43 catches, 770 yards, and 12 touchdowns this year in, what, 8 games?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he had some very good wide receivers on that Florida team as well, that helped keep, you know, all the defensive focus off of him. But even when teams were lining up cornerbacks on him, he was eating. When they dropped the safety over top, he was still eating. Kyle Pitts is just an absolute man. Now this name's not gonna ring out like it probably should have, but when we're just talking prospects, Kyle Pitts is grading out at a higher level than Eric Ebron, and Eric Ebron was the last tight end that was going in the first round of rookie drafts. I know I took him at 108, 109 in a rookie draft back in the day.
Yeah, Hockenson and Fant went in first rounds.
I would say Hockenson was the last tight end I remember that was this high. And Pitt is a better prospect to me than Hockenson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hockenson might be the real life, like, all around better tight end, but Pitts is like just that weapon that I don't think they're going to be able to hold him back. I think he's going to be phenomenal. Now, first year is always tough for rookie tight ends, but if he goes to the right system, he could be that rare, you know, like Evan Engram was in his first year. Mm-hmm. Like, he was really, really successful, and then his career went downhill. Sorry. I know that's a little too early.
Injuries added up.
He's a young man. He's still got plenty of time. I've never been a huge Evan Engram guy, but Pitts reminds me of just a bigger, more dynamic version of Evan Engram when I see him play. If the Giants could use Evan Engram correctly, instead of just running him on drag routes all day and curls, he would be good. So let's get into our next tight end I've got on my list. He is from Penn State, so I'm going to give this one to Tyler. It is Pat Freiermuth. He's coming out as a junior. He's probably going to be a first-round pick, if I were to guess, in the NFL draft. I think he's not my number two tight end, but he's pretty much the consensus for most people. And I know Tyler's a big fan of him. So, Tyler, give me some info on Mr. Freiermuth.
He's a big man. And he's 6'5", 258. And on tape, he looks bigger. He looks a lot bigger than that. He is a powerful man. He actually had better stats with McSorley, but also they only played 4 games this year. Here's his 4-game sample size. 23 catches, 310 yards, and 1 touchdown. But last season, he had 43 catches, 507 yards, and 7 touchdowns. And then his freshman year, he had 26 catches, 368 yards, and 8 touchdowns. 8. That is a 30.7% touchdown per catch ratio, like that percentage. Like, that's insane that he was used a lot in the red zone. And you can see on tape, when they get close to that touchdown marker, they're looking for him. They're like, okay, this is our red zone guy. He is a good blocker, which means he will stay on the field and he'll get on the field. And if you were a fan of Cole Kmet, you're really going to like Freiermuth more, because he's more athletic than Kmet to me. I really liked Kmet, but man, Freiermuth he's dangerous after the catch too. He's not going to juke you out, but man, you better get him low, because if you are going to try to wrap him up high, he is taking you 5 extra yards at least. I love him. I don't think he's going to be in the first round of the NFL draft, but I think he's going to land where Kmet did. Early second,
top 10 picks in the second round.
Yes, which could be the Cincinnati Bengals.
I was just going to say, yeah, if the Bengals don't take Pitts, say they take Penny Sewell or another tackle, and then
which
in
they
the second
should.
Round, which they absolutely protect your franchise, yeah. For God's
protect
sake.
Doug's UDPL quarterback, you bastard.
That's right. yeah, and go Freiermuth in the second round would be perfect.
Yeah, that's called winning the draft right there.
Yeah, Tim, what do you got on Mr. Pat from Penn State?
Mr. Pat from Penn State is actually tied for the second highest score in my film grades. But I give him just a slight edge because after watching all the film, I think that Pat at the tight end position is the best do-it-all tight end in the class. He's not on Pitt's level as a receiver, but he's one hell of a receiver. He runs very solid routes, has very strong hands. He does have the ability to transition into a runner after the catch, can occasionally make a guy miss. But he runs angry too. If you're gonna meet him head on, he's gonna lower the shoulder. It's gonna be, hey, who gets lower and who's got more power? Most of the time he's got more power, so hopefully you can get lower than he does, just as Tyler mentioned. Pat is, if he's not the best blocker at the tight end position in the class, he's definitely in the top three. He's a very solid blocker. He's that guy that's gonna latch on and go until he hears the whistle. He's like a pit bull. He's gonna latch on and just drive you into the ground. I absolutely love that. NFL teams are going to love that.
Now, about his blocking, my favorite part about his blocking is how he angles correctly. Mm-hmm. How if the running back is going to run to the outside of him, he will pretty much block off any possible angle for that defender
to get. He takes that wide tackle step.
Yeah.
He has that snap step to get outside of the outside hip and keep you angled inside to allow that running back to get around his hips. I think Pat is an absolute stud. He's exactly what... You know, especially like an old school football coach is looking for. This guy can, if I need him to, can run the seams, can run a post, can run the corner routes. And you see him, like Tyler said, they get down to the red zone, he's their weapon. He's the guy that they're looking for. He's that security blanket. Some quarterbacks really, really going to love the fact that their team went ahead and got Pat.
If I had to compare him to a tight end in the NFL now, it would be Mark Andrews. Because Mark Andrews has streaks where he's just pumped up. He's angry. He catches it, and he is just going to drag you down. After the catch, that's who he reminds me of. I think Andrews probably has a little more wiggle to him, but Freiermuth has that energy that Andrews brings.
I was going to say a better blocking Hunter Henry for me.
Yes.
Yep.
I think he's more athletic than Henry, though. Henry's kind of...
Yeah.
He's kind of like Honey Nut Cheerios. It's all right, but I mean, it's not going to wow you.
That is very true. So where do you think, if Freiermuth goes somewhere in the late first, early second in the NFL draft, let's talk Superflex tight end premium leagues. I think we play in a lot of those. Where do you think the draft range for him would be? Do you think he'd be somewhere in the mid-seconds or later or higher? Tim, what do you
said,
think?
You said it is tight end premium Superflex, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to have the quarterbacks go off. If somebody's in love with him, he might crack the first round at like 112. I think he's going to live in that like 202 to 205 range though in those drafts.
Okay. Tyler, what do you think? Do you think he's more of a early mid or late second rounder for you?
I would probably say 202, 203. I'm right there with Tim. I mean, we are going to dig into the wide receiver class the next two podcasts, and it is very deep.
It's deep. Yep.
So there's going to be the Amon-Ra St. Browns, the Tylan Wallaces that will get to the late first, early seconds. Before Freiermuth, but there's a point in my heart that would probably take him before them because these guys could be the more dart throws, like the 60-40 dart throws. Freiermuth to me seems like an 85% hit. Like he's going to get you touchdowns in the red zone if that's like his worst case. Best case is he has Mark Andrews' talent. So that's where I kind of see it at.
Gotcha. So just want to give people a gauge of what to expect, because tight end premium leagues are always tricky. You always usually have that one prospect that's at the very top, like your Kyle Pitts, and then you'll have a gap, and then it's usually like mid-second you might see the second tight end come off the board. And last year we didn't have a very good tight end class, so like everyone was forgetting about tight end, and Cole Kmet went later than normally would,
and 401 and super late some drafts.
Yeah, so it's just an interesting kind of comparison between the 2 years. So now I want to talk about my second favorite tight end in this class. This is a guy that I'm probably going to stand for. It's Brevin Jordan out of Miami, 6'3", 245 pounds, 38 receptions, 576 yards, 7 touchdowns in, I think, 8 games this year for Miami. just looks the part of that fast, athletic, kind of like he reminds me a bit of Jonnu Smith, but more athletic. Jonnu's a great blocker, which Brevin is okay at, I think. We'll get to Tim for his highlights there. But I think Brevin is an okay blocker. Jonnu is an amazing blocker. But obviously, he's really fast in the passing game. I think Jordan is more of that move tight end. But if you asked him to block, he could do it. But I just really, really like him a lot. Just his overall prospect profile, the speed, the hands, just a really, really great prospect for me. For me, personally, if I have any late second round picks in tight end premium, I'm hoping that Jordan is going to be there because he's kind of like one of those, unless a player slips, like I'm just going to be like, boop, lock it up. I want him. So if you're in leagues with me, you've been warned. So Tim, give me your review of Brevin Jordan from Miami.
It's funny you bring up Brevin's blocking. Brevin is an athletic big man that is not the best blocker in the class, but is definitely willing to put the time in and do the dirty work. I also really like his after-the-catch ability to shed tacklers and also shake open-field defenders with his agility. He does not have the best hands in the class, but he is definitely a plus receiver. I really liked watching him block because when he engages, he seems to bury his face mask in the guy's chest and attempt to drive him off the point of attack. He maintains solid leverage and keeps a good base. Now, while I say I like watching that, it was fun to watch. It is not what you necessarily want. You want that guy to have the good punch with his hands, extend his arms, and keep that distance. I enjoyed watching somebody just as soon as that ball snapped, smash his face into that defender's chest and just drive. It was fun to watch. But even with, you know, not the way it's going to be taught tactics, he does a very good job of blocking. I think he can be taught some more pointers at the next level. But Brevin, I have him just behind the guys tied for second for me. So he's currently in the third position for me. He's I'm telling you, this tight end class is deep. Brevin Jordan, despite the fact that in order, he's number four on my list. He's a guy that is going to go in rookie drafts, not far behind Pat Freiermuth. He's going to go within 5, 6, 7 picks.
Yeah, absolutely. Tyler, what do you got on my boy,
Mr. Jordan? Pretty much, Tim, willing blocker. He's okay at it. I put ... okay at it. And I saw the same thing. I mean, he really wanted to pancake people. But, I mean, when you got somebody outweighing you by 20, 30 pounds, you're not going to pancake them. I mean, he would really push linebackers and safeties back, but not that defensive line. Yeah. He had some drops. But I'm not too worried about it. He's still got good hands. He was put in the slot more often when actually running a route. When he was actually in line, he'd be blocking. I don't think he'll be as athletic as Ingram, but he will be used a lot like him in the NFL. That is, if the NFL knows how to use him. Like Ingram, we've had that issue. Brevin Jordan needs to be used like Ingram in his rookie year. Needs to get some short passes and then get a couple shots deep. He's very athletic. He body catches a little too much for me. I would like to see him use his hands more and not allow it get into his body. He did get better each season, and he had 7 touchdowns this year, which is a good thing to see. They used him a little more. And, I mean, let's be honest. Miami's team overall was better this season. And he really left a good impression at the end of 2020. His last 3 games, he had 8 catches for 96 and 2 touchdowns, 6 catches for 140 and 1, and then 4 catches for 75 and 1. So he really left a really good impression in people's eyes in the draft community as well. But I'm a little lower than you guys are, but if he lands, say, with the Saints, I mean, I know I would like to see
Troutman.
I was going to say I would love to see Troutman get his chance, but he's different than Troutman. So he needs to land in the right spot. And I think with these
New
other
England.
Tight ends,
they need tight ends.
New England. Yeah. Let's put them with their other 2 third round picks and a CSC and Dalton Keene
I'll say it's probably the Hurricane uniform, but when I was watching him, I saw a lot of David Njoku when it came to the athleticism, the receiving.
Now you know why I like him so much.
David Njoku was a different human being when it came to athleticism.
I was going
to
say, but let's remember the prospect that David Njoku was. I really like the athleticism, the receiving side of David Njoku coming out of Miami. I really like that out of Jordan here as well. I think he's a willing blocker. He's going to get taught some more pointers at the next level. I think he could develop. He's that guy that in 3 years, we're going to make, man, so-and-so got a steal on Brevin Jordan in the draft.
Yeah, and so I want to talk about a steal in the draft. I think this is a name that you see and you hear him in certain circles being talked about. Some people have him the second highest graded tight end in this class, and it's Hunter Long from Boston College. Now, fun fact about Hunter Long, not only does he have a baby face, he looks like he's 10.
Yeah, he does.
But also, he's from Exeter, New Hampshire, which is just a town over from where I grew up. So that's pretty cool. But we look at Hunter Long, 6'5", 253 pounds. This past year in 2020, he had 57 receptions, almost 700 yards, and 5 touchdowns. So only a 12-yard average, which is respectable. The year before that in 2019, over 18 yards a catch. That's better than Kyle Pitts, people. Mm-hmm. I'm not comparing the two. But nope. That's a huge...
You compared. Nope, we got it.
That is a huge, huge number. Now, he did have a 72-yard touchdown that year, so that skews things a little bit. And only 2 touchdowns in 2019. But this is from a run-first offense. Mm-hmm. So Boston College, if you watched A.J. Dillon, you know that Boston College runs the football more than anything. And obviously, he was their biggest pass-catching weapon for Boston College. So I think Hunter Long in the NFL draft might surprise some people with how highly he might get drafted, because I look at him as one of those guys, especially in these super flex tight end premium leagues, where if he gets drafted, maybe he gets drafted in the third round, I think he's going to be a guy that you can get really good value on that, again, could really pay off because I really like his prospect profile. So, Tim, talk to me about Hunter Long from Exeter, New Hampshire.
Hunter Long has ruined countless pairs of sweatpants for Mr. Bill Belichick. He is the prototypical old school tight end. This guy has really solid hands. He makes tough grabs in traffic. Can go up and get the ball. He can dive and get the ball. He can fall backwards and catch the ball. He seems to understand route concepts very well. If you watch the tape, you see him in zone coverage. He realizes where the zone is, where the hole is. He'll adjust his route. He'll sit down in the zone. He provides a very big target for the quarterback. He uses those big paws to reach out there and grab the ball in traffic. He isn't going to do a ton after the catch, but in a tight end premium league, this is the guy that's just going to eat catch after catch after catch after catch, and then he's going to give you 5 touchdowns a year. His ability to block, his ability to receive. This is a guy that NFL coaches and GMs and scouts are like, we got to get this guy in the door. He's a guy we can have do anything we ask him to do, and he's going to be successful at it. He's going to be a plus for a team.
Tyler, what's your thoughts on Mr. Long?
Yeah, I'm pretty much just going to mirror what Tim said. He's a big boy, won't show much after the catch. Uses big frame to block out defenders. Notre Dame, this is actually not a tight end. Notre Dame's going to regret letting Jerkovic leave because their quarterback for Boston College is fantastic. He's got a great arm. They just need to let him use it more. They should never let him transfer out. But Long is pretty sure-handed, and think Kyle Rudolph or Hunter Henry. This is where I think Hunter Henry comp lives because he's not going to wow you with anything, but Hunter Henry's really good at what Tim said, finding pockets in the zone, getting open, and just sitting there for a safety blanket. And that's what Hunter Long's going to be.
I love it. So let's keep the conversation moving here. Those are my big four, by the way. And then, like, outside of the, we get to, like, the fifth tight end. It's, you know, it's all sorts of stuff. Let's go. I know I'm going to give you an interesting one. And Tim and I talked about him pre-show. From Ole Miss, Kenny, was it Yeboah?
Yeah, Yeboah.
Yeah, Kenny Yeboah. This is a prospect that, like, very, very intriguing. Now, Tim, share some of the conversation that we had before we started recording about our boy Kenny.
If you've been listening to the show for a while, you may remember a guy named Steven Anderson, tight end that I just fell in love with coming out of Cal, I want to say. Maybe it was UCLA. No, Cal. And I seemed, in my notes, I fall in love with one of these passing weapon tight ends every year. Kenny's this guy this year. Kenny is an extremely exciting receiving prospect. He's a transfer from Temple. Kenny does enough of the line to help the run game, but is not even considered a blocker. Kenny makes his money after the catch, and the routes and his hands are plus tools. He has a very good top-end speed for the tight end position. I think Kenny is going to be a system-specific weapon. If he goes to the right place and they intend to utilize him as an offensive weapon, great. If he goes somewhere and, you know, Steven Anderson with the Texans and they expect him to be an inline blocker, it's not going to work for Kenny. He's 6'4", 240. He's a big receiver. I really like what I see from him, stretching the seams, being that third option in a passing game somewhere. Kenny excites me a lot, but he's not a do-it-all tight end as we've most, you know, all these guys before him we've talked about kind of are. They all have the tools to be a do-it, you know, do-it-all.
Tyler, any thoughts?
Yeah, like Tim said, his frame will kind of make him more of a big slot type tight end. Mm-hmm. And the Steven Anderson factor, I mean, he had an average of 19.4 yards per reception, which is fantastic. He's a big play guy. He's built more like a receiver. And yeah, if you're asking him to stay in line and block, that you should not be a head coach, because that's not what he is used for.
No, not at all. So let's get on to our next prospect. It's, you know, from the University of Georgia. I want to talk a little bit about Trey McKitty here. 6'5", 245. Not an awful lot of college production this year. Only 6 receptions for 108 and a touchdown. But in 2019, again, Georgia doesn't use their tight ends very often. Mm-hmm. So in 2018 and 2019, he averaged 25 catches a year. So obviously this is a guy that you're going to try to figure out from a prospect standpoint on, like, what is he? So Tim, you've done a little bit of research on Mr. McKitty. What did you see?
He was a transfer from Florida, I believe.
I think that's correct.
He's a good solid receiving tight end. He should probably be a contributor in the passing game. He's going to be a mismatch problem for slower linebackers and you know, smaller DBs. Again, it's tough. You can't really find much on him for this year at Georgia. Right. So you got to go back a couple years. But when he was at Florida, he showed he runs nice routes. He has pretty good twitch for a man of his size. And he's got like a second gear to him. Once he gets a ball in his hands, he can kind of change gears, get up to speed.
Is that a cat joke? Once he gets a ball in his hand?
No.
McKitty?
But yeah, I think he's he's a run the seams type of guy. I don't see a ton of routes out of him, but he should probably own the seams. He's going to be a mismatch guy, so teams are going to have to use him the right way. But yeah, he's number. Let me go back to my sheet quick. Trey McKitty is number 6 for me.
Yeah, I would have loved to seen him at the combine. You know how we were with Dawson Knox. So mm-hmm. He didn't really put much up on paper for Ole Miss because they had everyone else there. But we love his athleticism. Kind of the same thing with McKitty. Like, I would have loved to see, I mean, we'll have his pro day and everything, but I would love to see him in a natural environment of the combine to kind of get a better idea. Because for me, like, a lot of these tight ends, like, the eye test with watching film and then watching them at the combine is a big part of the process for me. So not having that this year, it sucks. Mm-hmm. So Tyler, any thoughts on Mr. McKitty? Meow.
Not right, meow. Tim pretty much nailed everything on the head. You know, he chases the ball around pretty well, ball in his hands. He goes crazy.
Runs around like he's got catnip.
Catnip makes him crazy.
A little bell in it. He swats at it.
No, in all honesty, a lot of these guys are going to be more like dart throws. If you're in a tight end premium, you're going to get these guys in the fourth round. If not, you're going to snag them up on the free agency for the first wave after the rookie draft. What I was really focused on was the Hunter Long and then going up from there. I mean, we'll probably talk about the guy from Duke, but that was probably the only other one that I really.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Noah Gray from Lemons to Mass Kid. He's a wicked good player. 6'4", 240 pounds. Had a great 2019, 51 receptions in college is amazing. Now, it was only for 392 yards, so he's not a weapon that they're using downfield by any means. And then 2020 comes back, 30 receptions, but he ups that average to 10 yards a catch. Only a couple touchdowns this year, 3 in 2019. I think you're right. I think there's just a glob of guys, maybe definitely after Hunter Long, and then there's like Yeboah's in his own tier, and then it's just like a lot of dudes that have interesting profiles. So that's always, like you said, you know, guys you're trying to get at the end of your draft, guys that you're trying to get in that free agent run. Like, you know, when someone doesn't draft Harrison Bryant in the UDPL. Oh. Sorry. Tyler's like, I hate you, Doug. Shut up. So, Tim, talk to me a little bit about Noah Gray, and then we'll kind of do just like a potpourri round of maybe some notable names for the rest of the class.
Noah Gray, digging in on him, I found out he was a high school quarterback, and I think it shows. When you watch his routes, he seems to have a very good route concept. He seems to find the hole in the zone a lot like Hunter Long did. Excuse me. Duke used him a lot in the slot, and they played him out of the backfield, almost like an H-back type, but yep. He showed his ability to be versatile, you know, be a weapon almost for Duke. He's not much of a blocker. He's got the frame. He's got to add some, you know, more muscle to the frame. He's got to work on his blocking technique for sure. And he's within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. He's not going to be that, you know, that big play guy. He's going to be he's going to be our guy to get us that first down when it's, you know, 3rd and 7. He can go make that tough catch, get you that first down, but he's not going to be that guy like a Kyle Pitts who's going to stretch the seam. You know, both the safeties are doubling on the outside, and Kyle Pitts is just going to murder a linebacker in coverage and go wide, you know, deep to the end zone. So I think that Gray is going to be like a fourth round NFL draft pick. He's probably going to be a late third. Nah, he's going to be later than that. He'll be a fourth round rookie draft pick for some drafts, especially tight end premium. And given a couple years hitting the weight room, getting the training in, learning the blocking techniques, he could possibly turn into something. As of right now, I'm not going to invest anything worth, you know, much other than a fourth into him.
Gotcha. Tyler, anything on Mr. Gray?
Yeah, just go watch Ross Dwelly highlights for San Francisco, and you've pretty much got him. He's going to be a good backup tight end in the NFL. And if he does arise the depth chart and becomes a piece in the offense like a San Francisco who uses the tight end, yeah, he might be fantasy viable now and then, but I don't think he has that upside factor that you want to see in these more athletic tight ends. Like Tim said, he's going to be if you need 15 yards, he's going to catch that 15 yards. If you need 18 yards, he's going to catch that 15 yards and get you 15 yards.
I like it. All right, so let's do a little bit of a potpourri round, and if you guys want to go back and forth and throw out any names that you feel that should be known or just have interesting thoughts about or, you know, anything like that. And I'll start with Tim. Why don't you go first? Just give me some names, and then Tyler can, you know, inject his wisdom as we go.
Another guy I did like was Kylan Grayson, SMU. Grayson, another big wide receiver frame for the tight end. He was, again, used as an H-back there at SMU. He runs well with decent speed. He makes crisp cuts in and out of routes. Not a ton of inline blocking on film. But like I said, he's a big wide receiver frame, 6'3", 242. So they're not going to – SMU didn't ask him to block. I wouldn't expect an NFL team, at least at first, to ask him to block either. Mm-hmm. But he was used as a lead blocker coming out of the backfield. He seemed to, at least there, understand the blocking schemes, where he was definitely getting that lead guy and allowing the running backs to get the extra couple yards. Another solid tight end from a good class was the last line of my notes. He is not a guy that, you know, I'm thinking, hey, this guy's going to come in the league and try to transcend and all of a sudden be a starter. He is a guy that I think in a couple years could possibly work himself into a starting role on an NFL roster. But for right now, I think he's a receiving weapon with upside that he'd be willing to invest a late pick with in rookie drafts.
Okay. Tyler, any thoughts on that? Or do you have a name that you want to throw out there?
I'll just throw another name. Matt Bushman out of BYU. You watch Zach Wilson tape, and he's going to show up. Bushman will show up. He's a little older per the Draft Network. He actually went on a mission trip. And so he actually completed it, and now he's 25 years old. So
it's like Sean Bradley. He was like 30 when he was an NBA rookie.
Yeah. So he did his mission trip, and now he's coming at 25. He's got
the Hayden Hurst effect.
He's got some athleticism to him, and he's another one of those dart throws that, I mean, he's a name to watch out for. What if they pair him up with Zach Wilson? Say Wilson goes to the Jets, and the Jets take him. Chris Herndon, you know, does his Chris Herndon usual thing. And Bushman comes up and comes out as a 25, 26-year-old rookie and plays well. Because I think when you're that old, you're capped. So that would probably be what I would have to say with Bushman. The con is he's kind of capped for his age. Yeah.
We're sure. probably right there at his, about his athletic peak. You're yep. not going to grow too much more. You might have one or two more years of growth in the athletic department before things start to go down the other side. I did like the way he moved. He moves like a big wideout. He can, you know, he uses that to get clean releases off the line, even in press coverage. He uses his hands well to pluck the ball out of the air, not allow it into his pads. I think he could be part of a red zone package for a team. And that's if they're planning to pass, because this guy's blocking is atrocious. He is consistently getting beat to the spot. He is not taking the right angles. Guys are shedding his blocks way too easily, making tackles in the backfield. As far as Bushman goes, that really, really turned me off on him. I think he could be a receiving option down by the red zone for a team, but you're going to have that week where he caught two touchdown passes and he's not going to catch another touchdown for 6 weeks. So
yeah, that makes complete sense. I think my favorite name on this list still is Pro Wells, just because you can make pro jokes all day.
Another guy, I didn't love him on tape, but Tony Poljan out of Virginia. After the Senior Bowl, I started hearing more people saying he had a really good week, so I went back and tried to find some tape from the Senior Bowl, and he did. He seemed to perform very well against, you know, some of the best seniors coming out this year. He transferred from Central or Western Michigan, so a smaller school, going to Virginia, playing in a bigger program. You know, I think he's another guy that, you know, priority free agent pickup after your rookie draft. If you got that roster spot or two, and it's a tight end premium league, maybe you throw a pick or a claim on Tony, pick him up, sit him there on your taxi squad for a couple years, and maybe something happens with him. Because he seemed to pick up the playbook and everything they wanted to do there at the Senior Bowl pretty quick. So I think the team might be pleasantly surprised if they bring him in the door. He might pick up on their offensive scheme pretty quick as well.
Tyler, what do you know about, you're a Notre Dame fan, what do you know about Tommy Tremble? He's regarded highly by some.
He's
obviously
thin.
Limited work too.
Yeah, and honestly, I think people don't realize he was a tight end, because when you wear the number 24, this happens a lot with Notre Dame players. When you wear the number 24 and you're a tight end, it's a little odd. Like, you're just sitting
there.
Well,
he lined up in the backfield a lot, didn't he? Like,
yeah, he was an H-back.
He was an H-back. Yeah,
and honestly, he's got athleticism. He's a three-star recruit. He's got that frame, though, that he can really fill into the frame. He's at probably 230 at the moment. So if he could play that kind of Jordan Reed type role in an offense, that's kind of where he would stand. He has room to develop. But, I mean, like I said, once again, another free agent pickup if he lands in the right spot. We saw a lot of these guys, like Hunter Bryant, we all thought was super athletic. And he fell, and now he's unheard of. So I think that's what we're going to kind of get with this tight end class as well. You're going to have the higher group. But other than that, I mean, other than the guys we've kind of mentioned, I'm kind of just, maybe something happens miraculously for these guys, but that's about it.
Yeah, I think that's all I've got too. Tim, you got anything else before we wrap up?
I was going to say, from this class, the last guy that I have any sort of interest in is Quentin Morris from Bowling Green, another Senior Bowl invite guy, was a three-year starter at Bowling Green. He shows good quickness off the line of scrimmage. He runs decent routes. He can work to pick up yardage after the reception. He gives effort in blocking, but he definitely needs to work on that a little bit more. Some people said he could be like a poor man's Kittle. Maybe a little bit. I don't see that after the catch ability out of him that I see out of Kittle, but there's a slight flash, a glimmer of it maybe. He definitely needs to work on his blocking in the next level, and I don't think he has elite quickness. Like, he can get off the line well. Like, he can shed that defensive end, he can shed that linebacker, get into his routes, but once he's got the ball, he's not running away from anybody. So another guy, just a glimmer of hope for him. I'm keeping an eye on him, seeing if he's going anywhere in drafts or mocks, but as of right now, priority free agent pickup.
Gotcha. All right, well, that is going to wrap up our review of the 2021 tight end class. Hopefully you learned something today and you heard some names that you're like, oh, I've never heard of that guy before, or you're like, you haven't done the film watching yet. Well, Tim and Tyler and myself, we've done a bit of it. So, you know, giving you the information that you need to kind of scout this tight end class. And obviously, with no combine, it makes it a little bit harder. Going to be really interested to see where these guys land in the NFL draft. Not laughed. I'm not laughing at them. That's not funny. but I did want to give a shout out to Trophy Smack once again. Make sure you use code DHHRING to get that free $60 ring, so you can give it to your lovely lady as an engagement ring. It's going to be beautiful. Copy me on Twitter for that. That'd be great. But that's all I've got. So for Tim, for Tyler, I'm Doug. We'll see you next week where we start our wide receiver 2021 class. It's going to be two parts because it's a deep class, and we got a lot of things to say about this wide receiver class. So we will see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
It's about to be a jovial 60 minutes, my dude. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Name change. Of all the places. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Name change. Of all the places. Been with this dynasty, but does she like me? Feel like a plumber sleeping, now that's a pipe dream. For the right fee, I might be entitled to the title, be on top like the cherry of an ice cream. Sundays, that's the one day I can complain, never complain, cause I know the boys gon' drop a pod, prop up my squad so I can talk a lot. But here we go again, it's a new year, rookies flowing in, it's some new tears. Who here to do fear? Bounce bells off of their chest like boutonnieres. It's a new era, happy hour, yeah. Let me ask you this, are you trying to get picks? Are you trying to get rich? Are you trying to get ships? Then you're trying to get this. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Name change. Of all the places. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Name change.